Good evening. This is week number 4 on time. So let's open your Bible to Psalm 90. Right around the middle of your Bible. This is a really good chapter with a lot of references to time. So why are you turning there? You ever hear the saying, time is money? You ever hear that? Is that true? Kinda. Yeah, you could. There's some truth to it. But a few comments about the relationship between time and money. Time denotes the hours spent doing work. Money is the amount earned for doing that work. So there is a relationship there. Don't do the work or spend your time doing the work, then you don't earn the money. Here's a great contrast. Time, once it is spent, you never get it back. You never get it back. Money you can spend and you can earn more. But once you have used time, you're not going back to say, oh, I need that back. So that's a contrast. The value of money decreases with time. Have you noticed that? Your dollar is not worth today what it was a year ago, a couple years ago. So it decreases. Whereas the value of time is always the same. Example, $100 of cash will not purchase you the same amount of groceries today that it did, a year or two ago, right? You're paying a whole lot more now. But when it comes to time, it's the same. Decade after decade, century after century. You have so much. Every day, you have the same amount of time. You don't get more one day and less the next. Time cannot be purchased or created. Yet, you can earn money, like we said before, by working. But time, once again, you have it, you use it, no getting it back or no buying more. In fact, we use that saying, buy me some time. You ever say that? I'm going to buy some time. You really can't. I know it's cliche, but you really can't do that. Time cannot make more time, but money can generate more money if you were to invest it properly. Time remains the same for everybody, where money is abundant with the rich and not so much with the poor. So rich or poor, you got the same amount of time, don't you? Time keeps on moving, and there's no rate of time changing. The seconds tick off, and they don't change. A second doesn't change length of time, an hour or a day. Whereas money can remain constant for some time if it's not spent. If you have $1,000 and you don't spend it, a week later you still got $1,000. But time, once that week is over, you're not getting that week back. And I'll just conclude with this. Time is limited, whereas money is not limited. So back to this thing about time to kick us off here. Everybody gets 24 hours in a day. How have you been using it? How do you plan on using the time that you have remaining? So lots of things to think about, and I'll try not to do any math tonight. Some of you, I think I lost some of you last week towards the end, and I apologize, but tonight will require you to use your brain and think about some things, and that's good for us. So Psalm 90, I'm going to read the whole chapter because there's a lot of references to time in this chapter. So see if you pick up on them as we read. Verse 1, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. That's a great verse on God and time. Verse 3, Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass, which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Now watch verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Did you see a bunch of references to time? Days and years and length of days and so forth. So just a couple things to point out. Verse 2 is one of those verses, one of many in your Bible, that you can try and digest. And I don't think we really can, because what does it mean to be from everlasting to everlasting? Everybody I've ever known has a beginning the day they were born. And if they don't have an end yet, they will have an end, including me and you. You can't say that about God. From everlasting to everlasting, when did God begin? He didn't. When will God end? He doesn't. Isn't that crazy? We are so finite in our thinking, it's actually hard to wrap your brain around it. All you can really do is say, yes, says that, and that's how it is. God is from everlasting to everlasting. So that's a great contrast. In fact, we'll contrast in our first couple of points, God's perspective versus man's perspective of time. Look at verse 4, even more mind-blowing verse. For 1,000 years in thy sight, that's in God's sight, are but as yesterday when it is past. We looked at the verse right at the end last week, 2 Peter 3:8, the same verse. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, I can't understand that, and here's why. Anybody ever had a long day? Today for me was a long day. It wasn't a bad day, but it was just long. You ever have a short day? Time flies. Actually, the time was the same. Your perspective changed due to what you were doing, right? When I was a kid, when I was in Texas, we go to Six Flags over Texas in Dallas area. And if I spent a day at Six Flags riding the rides there, the roller coasters, all that good stuff, it went by so fast. And then the summer would go by like that. And then the school year would drag on and drag on, right? And those days at school just seem so long, and then the weekends are gone like that. Hey, you actually got the same amount of time, but isn't that interesting how our perspective of time changes depending on what we're doing? I don't think I can completely understand verse 4 from God's perspective, other than the way that we measure and the way that He measures, it's not exactly the same. It is, but it isn't. He understands 24 hours in a day. He gets that. But he also sees a bigger amount of time in a day, and he also sees a day in a bigger amount of time. And see, that's where it gets confusing. So, again, you chalk these things up to, he's God, I'm not. He gets it, I can read it. That's about all I can do. I can read it and believe it. Some more here about time. There's a lot of good verses here. Look at verse 9. The second half says, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Isn't that interesting? When I was in high school, right after I got out of high school, you had these guys, and my friends would kind of make fun of these guys. We called them high school heroes. And after high school, all they ever talked about was the baseball game or the football game or the basketball game that they scored all these points in or did so well in. And here they were 5-6 years out of high school, and they're living in the past. Interesting how we use past occurrences as, just like it says there, tales. And if we're telling the story, it's a great tale, isn't it? If somebody else is telling the story, maybe it's not so great. But memories and time passes, and it results in us being able to tell stories about it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just don't think that you can go back there and live there again, because you certainly can't. Look at verse 10. This is a good one to pay attention to, regardless of your age. The days of our years are 70 years. Now, how old is that? That's 70. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, that's 80. Watch what it says here. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So I know that there's folks here in their 70s and 80s. And I think everybody I've ever talked to in their 70s and 80s would say, yes, when you get to be that age, there is strength, labor, and sorrow. Is that right? I mean, I can see it now, and I'm almost 50. I can see it now, and I'm sure I'll be able to see it even more so in another 20 years. So a lot of truth in that verse. Now, how old's 4 score? That's 80. So we've had a lot of folks here in our church beyond 80, and some into the 90s. We had a few here in the 90s in recent years. So my dad turned 70 in 2010, and I went to see him. We had a little party for him, and I told him, I said, Dad, from here on, you're on bonus time. And here he is, 82. He's going to be 82 here in a couple months. And he's enjoyed the bonus time, and the Lord's given him that. Amen, right? Thank the Lord if he gives you a lot more than 70. If he gives you 70, you are greatly blessed. If he gives you 80, you're even more greatly blessed. If he gives you 90 or 100, hallelujah, right? God gave you that. God gave you that extra time. You didn't earn it. Certainly none of us earned any extra time. God gave that to you. Okay, verse 12. This is a great prayer. So teach us to number our days. How come? So that the rest of the verse tells you, so we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That is a great prayer that you should pray often and mean it. Lord, help me to number my days. And what you're asking the Lord to do is help you use your time wisely. Okay, verse 13. Notice, this is just right in the middle here, an interesting verse. It's a request. Return, O Lord. How long? Now, maybe you haven't said it like that, but you prayed a prayer probably similar, yeah? Especially the last couple of years. How long we got to put up with this nonsense, Lord? Are you coming back soon? And if you are truly looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to return, that's a good thing. You know there's something much better than this world, what this world has to offer. Okay, let's go down to verse 14. Oh, satisfy us when? Early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad. How long? All our days. I thank the Lord. I got saved as a little boy. I grew up Christian parents, heard the gospel early on, got saved. And I will tell you, I thank the Lord for that, because I believe that I have been able to rejoice and be glad a lot longer, at least I've had the opportunity to, a lot longer than folks that got saved later in life. Now, if you got saved later in life, praise God. But getting saved as a child, I know there's somebody in here did. Hallelujah. People who are not saved, now I understand that saved people could do the same, but people who are not saved make some of the most ridiculous, foolish decisions in their early years, and it stays with them for a long time, yeah? Isn't that right? So if you got saved at an early age, praise God that He put you in a place to hear the truth at an early age. That's a great blessing to be saved early. And if you didn't get saved early, well, hey, you got saved at some point, so that's a good thing. Saved you a lot of grief either way. Verse 15, last one I'll look at here. Make us glad according to the days. Now, this is strange. Glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. And I read that and I thought, hold on a second. Why would I be glad if I've been afflicted by the Lord and the years that I have lived, I have seen evil? Can you relate to that? Has the Lord afflicted you? Maybe a little, maybe a lot. Have you seen evil? How can you be glad? Did you notice the first three verse, the words in the verse? Make us glad. And that's a great thing to pray so you stay on the course and don't get bogged down in the mud and slime and the quicksand of this world. You'll sink, won't you? You got to ask the Lord to help you out of that. And if you don't have the Lord, if people who don't have the Lord, they have no hope. You know that? They have no hope. And their attitude is, All I see is evil, and all I see is affliction, and there's nothing beyond that. But if you know the Lord, there's something greater, isn't there? Amen. You don't have to worry about all the nonsense of this world. You just got to put up with it for a little while. Okay, now, here's where we get into the meat here. Go to Isaiah 57. First point here. Just wanted to kick us off there in Psalm 90. That's a great chapter on time. Isaiah 57, point number one, God's perspective of time. Just a couple of verses on how God sees things. Get ready to think, because this is one of those things that it'll really blow your mind when you meditate on this for a bit. And that's a good thing, because when our mind is blown by the Scriptures, we realize that God is so much greater than us. That's what it ought to do, at least. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth what? God inhabiteth eternity. Let's keep on here. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God inhabits eternity. You say, what does that mean? Simply put, God is not bound by time. I am. I got to quit in 20 minutes. I'm supposed to. We'll see if that happens or not. God does not have any limits due to time. I did not get all the list done today at work. Anybody with me on that? Did you get all the list done today? I had a list, man. I got a few things off the list, and it was nice to check those off. But I got that list remaining from today, and then I'll have to add some more tomorrow. You know why I didn't get it done? You know why? I actually wasn't lazy today. Worked hard today. You know why I didn't get it done? Help me out. I ran out of time. Got to go get something to eat. Got to get to church. We're bound by time. And when we're bound by time, it prevents us from doing all that we would like to do. Hey, God is not bound by time. And that means He's unlimited in doing whatever He wants. More on that in a second. Go to Psalm 147. Actually, keep your finger in Isaiah. We're going to come right back to close to where we were. Psalm 147. Psalm 147. God is not limited or bound by time. Psalm 147. And go to verse 5. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is, what does it say? Infinite. What does that mean? You can't put a cap on it. It never stops. There's nothing that God doesn't know. His understanding is infinite. That matches how He is not bound by time. Eternity is His dwelling place, it said over there in Isaiah. Infinite describes His understanding. So when you start looking at verses that tell you characteristics about the Lord God Almighty, it ought to leave us in awe of Him. It should. It's a great thing about the Scriptures. The Scriptures put things in the right perspective so that you think less of you and more of Him. Because who's greater? Yes, nobody's greater than the Lord God Almighty. I don't care which man on earth or which woman on earth you try to prop up, nobody can measure up. And we oftentimes look to people. We look to men and women as great people. But there's none greater than the Lord. Amen. All right, go back to Isaiah 53. Now, this is where you got to put your thinking cap on. Now, you remember back in school, that's English grammar. Hard. And you probably thought, what a waste of time that English grammar was. Actually, your English grammar, you learning English grammar, helps you understand your Bible. It really does. Now, this is basic. You all know this. Past, present, future. The three tenses. And I know you got the present perfect and the past perfect. I don't even remember all that, but we can just stick with the basics. Past, present, future. The past, that was yesterday. The present, right now. Now that's in the past. I said right now, a few seconds ago, to the past. 8 o'clock is still in the future. Pretty simple, right? Here you are in Isaiah 53. Isaiah writes this sometime around 700 BC. So that's in the past, a long time ago, 2,700 years, give or take, from now, in the past. Watch the tenses that he uses here. Now, he's obviously writing under inspiration of God, so watch how he says things. Watch the tenses change. This is so cool. Verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall, that's future, grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, you know that this whole chapter is about who? It's a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is still 700 years away from arriving on earth when this is written. So far, we're okay because telling about a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who will come. Let's keep going. Look at verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. What is despised and rejected? What tense is that? He is despised and rejected of men. Okay, now watch it. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. What is was? That's the past. Jesus was despised in 700 B.C.? See, what is going on here? Watch the tenses change. And God did not make a mistake. This is exactly the way he wanted it. Now watch verse 4. Surely he hath borne our sorrows, and borne our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now watch verse 5. It's going to change again. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Interesting. Why would the Lord use, in some places here, the past tense? Why would he do that? This event was out in the future. When I refer to the future, I don't use the past tense. I use the future tense. Why did the Lord refer to the past, even though he's talking about a future event? Anybody want to take a guess at that? Remember who God is. He's not bound by time. You realize that when he writes this, it is as good as it has already happened. Remember, he inhabits eternity. He's from everlasting to everlasting. So I'll show you at the end of the message how he can actually go over here in the past and then over here in the future. He can do what the movies and TV shows would like to do. Back to the Future, remember that? Quantum Leap TV show from the 80s. I don't know if you remember that. And that's what would happen. They would bounce back and forth. You can't do that. But God does and can. So he writes this as if it has already happened. Because if God says something is going to happen, it's going to happen. So isn't this interesting? He can write with confidence that it will happen, and then he can go even further with confidence saying, oh, it did happen, even though it hadn't happened yet. Now, do you understand that completely? Neither do I. If you don't, I'm with you. If you do, please explain to me afterwards. I kind of get it. But then I don't get it. It's kind of like the Godhead, the Trinity. You kind of get it, but then you don't get it. All right, so I thought that was kind of neat. Now go over to Exodus, more on God's perspective. Exodus 3. This will really nail it down as far as God and time. You've seen this before. Exodus 3, burning bush. Exodus 3:14. Exodus 3, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. What tense is I am? That's a present. So, if you go on there, let's read verse 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Now, was God the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when he said to Moses, I am that I am? Was he? They were dead, by the way. Was he still their God? Yeah, go over to the New Testament, you'll find out he's the God of the living, not of the dead. And you say, well, aren't they dead in one sense? Yeah. In another sense, nope. What's going to happen after you die if you're saved? You actually have real life. That's what you got. Because eternal life is better than temporary life. You know what this is right now? We're living in temporary life. When you go up into eternity and you die and you know the Lord, you are now in the eternal, no clock. I would say that's better. And there's no sin, there's no sorrow, amen, and all that. All right. So here's what I would say about that verse. God is not limited by the past or the future. No matter where God is, He is. Present tense, am. I am. Pretty neat. Real quick on just something about the Lord. Go to Job 42, and then we'll move on to the next thing here. Job 42. These verses ought to just remind you of who God is and what He is like. Job 42 is the last chapter in Job. This is where Job starts to figure things out. He gets a reality check. He hears from the Lord here for the last few chapters before 42. Look at 42:1. Job 42:1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. Well, what's that mean? If God can do anything, what's the big theological word we use for that? He's all powerful. He's omnipotent. Look what else it says. And that no thought can be withholden from thee. Does God know everything? Yeah, He sure does. That means He's omniscient. Big theological word. Both those truths are right there in that verse. God's all-powerful. God's all-knowing. I just want to remind us all, God is not limited by time being all-powerful and all-knowing. He's not. Think about how that clock, like I said, week one, we started this study several weeks ago, that clock runs your life, doesn't it? Tells you when to get up, tells you when to go to bed, tells you when to eat, tells you when to go home from work, tells you when to be at work. Nobody runs God's life because He's not bound by time. And He's the only one that can say that. It's pretty neat. Now, I'll give you something to chew on here. 2 Timothy 3. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Future, right? Then you go to Hebrews 1, and it says, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past to the prophets, in these last days has spoken unto us by His Son. As if the last days are now. But you know when Hebrews was written? First century. Go over there real quick. I'll show that to you. Hebrews 1. Last thing here on the Lord, and then we'll talk about man and time. Hebrews 1. I didn't quote that just quite right anyway. Get it right here. Let the Bible straighten me out. Hebrews 1:1. Second Timothy said the perilous times were coming, the last days were coming, future. But look at this. God, who at sundry time and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath, that's present tense, in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Are the last days a long time ago? Are they now or are they future? What would you say? Yes, yes, and yes. If Phil was here, he would say yes three times. Because the writer of Hebrews could say that confidently. And then you can say today we're there. And then how long are we there? How long is it really going to be? I don't know. Neither do you. So, some neat things there about God. Back here of Psalms. Go to Psalm 89. I know I've got you going all over the places. It's not in order, but it's kind of the way it worked out. Psalm 89. That's God's perspective of time. Let's look at a couple of verses here on man's perspective of time. Man's perspective of time. Kind of hard to figure out that first point, just exactly how God is in relation to time, but we will definitely understand this one because it's us. Psalm 89, go down to verse 47. This is a long chapter. 89:47. remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. So, God is not bound or limited by time, but guess who is? We are. And notice it says how short my time is. Now, I know that when I was in going through school, up until I got out of college, I guess, I was in my 20s, it seemed like time just dragged and dragged. And then I'm telling you, that very moment after I graduated college, boom, the time has gone by so fast. Anybody relate to that? I don't know if that's the same with everybody, but I know a lot of folks tend to be the same. And I think what it is, you can't wait to get done with school. At least that's how I was. I enjoyed school to some degree, but I was ready to be done with it. Got out of high school, okay, let's get to college. Okay, ready to be done with this. And it just took a long time, it seemed like. And then since then, what a blur it's been. And folks a lot older than me said the same thing about just going on and on. It just gets faster and faster. Okay, go to Ecclesiastes. Now, let me show you what a lot of men spend their time doing. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Go to chapter 8. This is what man spends a lot of his time doing, and it's very sad. But this is how so many people choose to use their time. Remember Ecclesiastes. You've got to be careful when you read Ecclesiastes. You've got to get the context. There it is from Sunday night. Context. He's writing, Solomon's writing, as a man under the sun from an earthly perspective. So he says some things that are true from an earthly perspective. Got to remember that when you read the book. Ecclesiastes 8:15. Look what he says. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun. What do a lot of people spend their time doing today? They live for the weekends so they can eat, drink, and be merry. Now, is there anything wrong with eating and drinking, as long as you're not drinking alcohol, and having a merry time? Is there anything wrong with that? No, unless that's your life. In fact, we have had some food and some soda and water and juice back there in the back and fellowship, and we've made merry. Amen? Around church people, right? Nothing wrong with that as long as you don't live for it. And I have worked with people, and I'm sure you have too. You probably got neighbors like this. They can't wait for Friday night. They're off of work the weekend so they can do those three things. Have fun doing whatever they want with a lot of eating and drinking going on. So if that's a person's life, that's not much of an existence, is it? Because you're never satisfied. You always got to wait till the next weekend. Just a never-ending cycle. Okay, last thing on man's perspective. Go to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, way back here in the New Testament. And then we'll get to this last thing, and I'll give you something fun to think about before you go. 2 Peter 3. Here's what most men do with the time they have. Their time is limited. They spend a lot of time just doing things that only last a short amount of time. Oftentimes have a lot of regrets. Here's what else they do. 2 Peter 3. Look at verse 3. 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. So there's a future reference to it. There shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Are there scoffers today in the world? People who scoff at biblical truth? Oh, yeah. Instead of believing the Bible, what do? They walk after their own lusts. Now, watch verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And they say, things are as they have always been, and they will always be that way. And nothing could be further from the truth. Because there are some things to come that you better be prepared for. If you know the Lord, you're ready. It's going to be real rough for folks on earth in the future. You know the Lord, He'll take good care of you. So, just a man scoffs, man walks after his own lust, man mocks those who believe that the Lord is coming back. That's what he does. It's what man spends his time doing. So that's man's perspective. Now, let's try to put the two together. Last thing here. This is the Christian's perspective. Just give you a couple verses here. You're in 2 Peter 3. Go down to verse 11. This is the Christian's perspective. Should be, if you're saved, your perspective. Here we go. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things, talking about here on earth, what's going to happen to them? What's it say? They shall be dissolved. Now, if you dissolve something, what do you normally use? You ever use an Alka-Seltzer? You put the Alka-Seltzer in what? Water, and it dissolves. He mentions dissolve, but in the previous verse, he does not mention water. He mentions, you see what it is? Fire. Dissolving in fire. I can't even understand what that means. I just believe that it's what's going to happen. Dissolving in fire. So he says, seeing then that all these things, that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So you know what he's telling us there? If you know what's coming, the time you got, you better live. He tells you exactly how to do it. In all holy conversation and godliness. Amen? It's a great way to live. Conversation there is not just what you say, it's who you are. Live in holy, all holy conversation and godliness. Okay, another thing here, real quick. Let's go to Esther chapter 4. Just two more places here and we'll finish. Esther 4. I've got a lot more verses here, but we'll save them for another time. Esther 4. So if you ever read the book of Esther, a lot of people say, oh, look at the coincidences that happened there. You ought to know by now, you've been saved for a while, there are no coincidences with God. Did you know that? And neat little verse here in Esther chapter 4, if I can find Esther, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, there we go. Neat little verse here about Queen Esther, a Jew, rising up to be the queen over a Gentile nation under a Gentile king. And a man that's in cahoots with the king wants all the Jews dead. And God put Esther in a place at a certain time so she could do something about it. So I'll read the verse and we'll make a good application here. Lord willing, make a good application for all of us here as we close. Esther 4:14. This is her cousin Mordecai. Look what he says to her. 4:14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now let me ask you a question. Did Esther, being in that place at that time, take advantage of the situation God put her in so that God got the glory? Oh, she sure did. And it took, this is something that we can all learn from, it took her great boldness and risking her life to do so. But, if you know the story here, was it worth it? You better believe it. Folks, use your time, however long or however short a time you got remaining, use your time to get something done for God. He puts you, I've often thought, I'd like to have lived, you know, as a baseball player, I'd like to have played back in the 20s and 30s when the game was really just starting out and guys played hard-nosed and didn't care about the money. Hey, God didn't put me in that time period. He put me in the time period where I was born in the 70s and then lived all the way through, here we are, 2022. Same thing with you, didn't he? This is the time period He chose to put you in. Doesn't matter. Oh, I wanted to live 200 years ago. I wish I was alive in Bible times. This is the time God put you in. And for such a time as this, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to say, whatever time I got, I'm going to use it for the glory of God. Last place here. Go to Philippians 3. This is a familiar verse to you. Now, a lot of people, and I'm guilty of doing it myself, a lot of people choose to live in the past. They think about something they did in their past or something that happened in the past. They never can get over it. I want you to read this verse and tell me where you see the past. If you look at verse 14, if 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing on means moving forward. Do you see the past in that verse? I don't see it, but I do see it in verse 13. Check out verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What's that next word? Forgetting those things which are where? Behind. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. And then he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, don't live in the past. So many people have ruined opportunities in the present because they can't get over something that happened to them in the past. Either something they did or something somebody did to them. Can you change it? You cannot. I know it took me a long time to figure that out. You can't change it. What you can do, learn from it. What you can do, if you did something you shouldn't have, you can put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all you can do. And then what do? You move forward. And you move forward wiser because you learn from that thing in the past. So, little thing on time there. I was going to leave you with something else, and I think I'll... Can we do another week on this, Pastor? I've got a couple things I'd like to hit. I'll save it for next week. So you want to come back next week because it'll be fun. And it'll really cause you to think. We'll look at God and how He manipulates time however He chooses. Really neat stuff. So we'll save that for next week. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for just showing us exactly what we need to see about You and about ourselves. May all of us go away from here realizing how we are finite, You are infinite, You know everything, we really know nothing. And I just pray that we would spend whatever time we have, our days or hours or minutes we have left, honoring You, glorifying You, and just living our lives for You in a wisest possible way. And I just pray for Your protection on us as we go from here and throughout the rest of this week. Give us wisdom. I pray You teach us to number our days that we all might apply our hearts unto wisdom, the wisdom from Your Word. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.